Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Rolling right into hour two of Old School here on The Ticket. I'm Austin, he's Jay. Thanks for listening. Big thanks to the Mercado for their sponsorship of the show. Really appreciate them, everything they do for us. 402-464-5685 is where we will be awaiting word from Jake Sorensen. Talking about his quarterback, but for how much longer? We'll see. Jay, things have really gone off the rails the last year and a half or so for Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins, to the point that as of today, Tua Tagovailoa has been benched. And of course, when that happens in the NFL with such a high-profile starter, you start looking to the future. What could that hold? Especially in terms of contracts, right? Tua Tagovailoa got the like $55.5 million extension on average, 54, 55 in that ballpark. Well, how about this? Tua already has $54 million guaranteed for 2026. Come March 15th, another $3 million in 2027 becomes guaranteed. If the Dolphins cut him, that's $99 million in dead cap space. That would be, if it was after June 1, it'd be 67.4 for 26 and 31.8 for 2027.
You locked in. You dancing with the devil. This is what you get for not having the right concussion protocol and send him out there back-to-back weeks. And then you had to pay him because that's why he has all those guarantees late in his contract. Mm-hmm. Or else he probably could have sued the Dolphins and the NFL and everybody else for malpractice. So
yeah.
I think this benching is a wake-up call for him. I think he's way too comfortable. I think once he got paid, his mouth just got way too loose. He'd get up there, throw people under the bus, say some stuff that he knows better than saying because he knew he wasn't going anywhere. And then that reflected in his play.
Yeah.
And I think he lost the locker room a little bit because when you think about, they could have very easily packed it in. Mike McDaniel probably could have been fired 5 weeks ago, but they didn't. They rallied around him. They felt like they had a legit chance last week, and he played horrible against the Steelers.
Yeah, two touchdowns, great, both in the fourth quarter. Yeah, four scores.
those are just stats, stat stuffers, and I think this is a. I think they're, and this is. You got to give Mike McDaniel credit for this, and maybe it came from higher than him. I think this is a wake-up call to him that we need better from you, and you got to play better, not only in good weather, but in bad weather and cold, because you are going to be the franchise quarterback at least for one more year, even if we draft a quarterback. Yeah. Because in the third year, not next year, but the year after, it's $3 million guaranteed. That's not a big deal. I mean, we're talking about three more million
for now. So, right. I mean, as of right now, if they cut him, it's at least 32.
Yeah.
34 if you add the extra three from the 31.8. Right. So, 34, 35.
So, but if you, he'll be there probably most likely next year because nobody will want him and you just can't have him walking around healthy and like that.
Right.
And the new coach will stick with him for a year. But like I said, with Mike Daniel, he's doing you a favor and throwing you like a life raft and a wake up call on your career. Like, wake up, dude. Like, yes, we got through if it was me talking to Tua, I was like, you need to shut it down. Those are some gruesome, concussions and, lifelong. Yeah. But he's out there. You got paid. We've actually curtailed our offense so you're not exposed as much. So now we're expecting you to play better. You haven't. You have played well at times in the past. We need to get you there, and you need to start acting like it. I mean, I don't know if you saw the video of him and Jalen Ramsey after they, I'm going to tell you like this. Like, when I was in Buffalo, we were always in the playoffs in the playoff hunt. Mm-hmm. When I got to Houston, I knew, especially the first year, we weren't going to make the playoffs. But there was a couple years after that where we were close. in the game that you realize that you, or when the game that you, we need to win this to stay alive, the game that you don't, and you real like after the game, you know you're out of the playoffs, it's almost like a funeral. So you're not, I'm not very chummy after the game.
No.
But if you saw the video with him and Jalen Ramsey, he was out there way after the field cleared off, hanging out like it was no big deal. That lets me know you, well, it comes off. And when you're in high profile positions, as we just talked about with Dylan and any other quarterback that comes to Nebraska, the perception, unfortunately, is the reality.
Yeah.
The perception of Tua is you don't care because you know you're straight and you've made it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You know you got money guaranteed next year, so you can say, bump it, cut me. And sure, you want to have that as an attitude because that's the only power that you really have in the NFL. But when you're a franchise quarterback, not some linebacker like me, you need to make sure that you act right. But I think this is a wake-up call for him, and then allow him to go into the offseason, maybe in some sort of competition with a rookie quarterback, probably hoping and somewhat behind the scenes guaranteeing that he wins.
So you mentioned Tua Tagovailoa. He has played well in the past. 2022, 8-5 as a starter, 6.3 touchdown percentage, led the league about 9 yards per attempt, 13.7 yards per completion, and a pass rating of 105, finished 9th in MVP voting. Next year, plays a full season, 17 games, 11-6, 4,600 yards for Tua, 29-14 touchdown to interception ratio. Then even as recently as last season, in 11 games, led the NFL in completion percentage at 73%. Jay, we saw the outlines in the workings of what an offense directed by Tua Tagovailoa could be, but what did it have? Had Tyreek Hill, had flashes from Gesicki.
Yeah.
And then it was really built on some of that run game as well, you know, especially behind Devon Achane, who's been really good. But yeah, I think your point, oh yeah, absolutely. Mike McDaniel was one of those guys in the running and the, you know, kind of Sean McVay tree. Oh, look at this offensive wunderkind. Miami might have it rolling. And then they run into the coldest game really ever played in NFL history, Kansas City, you know, at least in the 2000s in Kansas City. It all kind of starts unraveling from there. I agree with you that he's probably not getting cut. If he would, Bill Barnwell says, assuming the cap goes up 8% this offseason to his $99.2 million dead money charge, would basically be in line with what the Broncos ate as part of releasing Russell Wilson, who got
Then they could.
And that's just my next question. Let's say Tua's on the team next year. He gets a chance, maybe wins the job, maybe he doesn't. The other side of that is Dolphins swallow the tough pill. We can't do this anymore. We've played it out. We're firing the head coach. We want to give our new GM a chance to get a quarterback
and new head coach
and especially a chance to get a head start on what they want to do. It was 2 years ago that happened for Denver.
Yeah.
2 years ago. And here they are, 12-2, leading the AFC.
Yeah.
I don't have anywhere near the same level of confidence that Miami could do it. I think a large part of it's Sean Payton having plenty left in the tank, still being a good coach. I think
and
Denver's got
too.
A pretty good front office as well. I don't think Miami has that, but at least there is a model that's shown it's a really tough line to walk, but you can get away with it if you make pretty much every right
move. Yeah, and you got a great point there. I mean, you have a precedence that you're able to survive doing it with Russell Wilson. You're able to survive, but you had Patrick Surtain, you know, and other guys
already a top five defensive
player. Already there. Yeah. So you had a little bit more in the cupboard than maybe the Dolphins do, because you got guys quitting in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just like I always talk about with Nebraska football to the fans, be very wary of looking what other people have done and how it worked out for them, and then you think just because you do the same thing on the surface that it works out for you.
Yeah.
Meaning, if the Dolphins think, well, oof, you know, Denver did it, let's just cut them, and you know what? 2 more years, we'll be, you know, the number one seed and probably get a first round bye. Well, did Sean Payton have an evil twin down out there? you going to hire Patton? The GM?
Right.
You going to hire him? His long lost cousin that taught him everything too. And then are you going to? Do you have a defensive player of the year at corner?
What is Stephen Ross thinking?
So, and then also look at the division, like. Josh Allen isn't in the Buffalo Bills aren't on the slide on Kansas City based on being dominant for 10 years because they actually have played like 2 more seasons of football, but you know, because of the playoffs and the time, you know, invested. So they're just worn out a little bit. And the Patriots on their uptick.
Jets are probably going to take a quarterback in the top five.
And they'll be better.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're younger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
I mean, I think next year you got to keep to it. I think you could. I think you can. You got Quinn Ewers. I think you can draft a quarterback. I got to probably look who's all going to. I mean, it all depends on who declares in the second or third round and kind of bring in true competition, knowing that the baton is going to be passed to Tua. And if Tua has a good year next year, we're cutting you. We're getting rid of you regardless, because now you're tradable.
Right.
Because your salary cap number and your contract is more manageable because the guaranteed money is less. So really, I think this is a wake-up call. There's not a lot of guys in the NFL with his stature at that position. Like, say you're a linebacker and you're 5'9", and you had a couple down years, and then you do some stuff in the locker room. You don't get another chance. Like, bro, you got a chance from when they drafted you way too high.
Yeah.
Then they got rid of a coach that actually called you out on some of the things that are coming to fruition right now.
Yeah.
And Brian Flores.
Yeah.
Then you got a coach that actually took the job because he sold it as he believes in you. Then it worked out. Then you started to become immature and then not progress.
On top of injuries,
which is the Dolphins' fault, right? He should have been out for a long time before they put him back out there. Mm-hmm. And then the only thing that you can do is you can control the control of how you play in the cold, and you can't even find a way to gut it out.
Like, barely look like a passable quarterback ever in cold.
You look like you're cold.
You look like you're from Hawaii.
Right. But you look like you'd rat, like once that hawk hits you, like, yeah, this is not for me. this, look, just looking at the clock. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you played.
5424 wants to know, why couldn't Tua be a backup instead of eating the money by cutting him? What's the thought process there from a front office?
A backup at Miami?
Yeah.
He could, but will he? With his attitude right now, the way he's kind of morphed into being arrogant, I don't think he would stay there because for him, he knows he's going to get paid regardless. So why would I want to be here and be a backup, even though it's probably better for me to be a backup? But he wants to see if he can go somewhere else. Because everybody always needs a quarterback. Somebody else will give him a chance.
Hypothetically, where would somewhere else be?
I was thinking about that when you were saying, I'm trying to see somebody with the Shanahan tree. Play action, all that. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could go and start.
That's a really tough look. I mean, the options that came to mind for me, could Kevin O'Connell make it work if J.J. McCarthy's
We must be in the same wavelength. I was going to say the only team I think he could go there and start is Minnesota.
But the problem is you're playing at Green Bay and at Chicago when it's cold.
Have to get rid of J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
He can't be there. Right. And that's a quick hook on him.
If you're Arizona and you're letting Kyler go, maybe? But I'd rather have Kyler than Tua. Probably.
Yeah. I mean, they both are facing the same issues. It's all in it. It's mental.
New Orleans, if you're not sold on Chuck, he's been sneaky, all right.
They're sold on him.
Yeah.
They think they're comparing him to Josh Allen. They think he's a franchise quarterback.
I can't believe I'm about to say this.
I can't believe what you're about to say either.
I haven't even said it yet.
But I can only think. I just said franchise quarterback in Shaw down there in New Orleans. So if you say anything towards that, I can't believe you're okay.
Franchise tag Daniel Jones or Tua?
Oof. I'm still going with Daniel Jones.
I think I have to as well. If you're Atlanta, we can get to this. Raheem Morris says everything is on the table at the quarterback position.
But the quarterback position?
At the quarterback position.
What's too late
everything
for that, brother?
Is on the table. Nah, is that just about this year or is that about big picture?
Yeah, it don't matter. It's over. Your time is done. You done.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah, you done, brother. You can say whatever you want. That means absolutely nothing. You came out and said, no matter what Kirk Cousins does, that he will not play. You just paid this man $100
million. 180, 45 a right. year for 4 years.
Right? And you gave him a contract, injured, mm-hmm. and then drafted his replacement within a couple months. Homeboy ain't even paid one payment on his house. And now you're going to try to say everything's on the table? Nothing's on the table. You're not even on the table. You gone. You're done. You and Fontenot, goodbye. You have messed this up. When Arthur Blank called the GM up out of the draft room mm-hmm. to his office.
What was that?
And sell me on it, and it doesn't work. And then you're like, well, everything's on the table. So what? My whole thing to Raheem Morris, I would say, okay, so what's on the table with him too? You just benched the dude. You told him he's a veteran. He's supposed to be your franchise. This is the guy that you wanted.
Yeah.
But then you wanted the other guy because he slipped. Mm-hmm. What's on the table? You're going to go back to the original guy? He's ready to get out of town.
Yeah.
His agent is ready to get out of town. You know what I mean? So right. So what are you going to do? Big shout out to one of the old school listeners right there.
What's
there
up?
He is. There he is. So I just wonder what these guys do all day.
Let's hit our text line here, Jay. Cubscrew. Says, if I were to, I'd be texting Kirk Cousins, asking him how life is as an expensive backup.
I would too.
There's that. If you can get him cheap, you mentioned the Shanahan tree. Shane Fran?
Yeah. Brock Purdy gets hurt all the time. Mac Jones out there balling.
He is.
But if I'm Tua, I'm having a bout face. You down in Miami, no state tax. Oh, you want to draft? Oh man, he's going to be great. I'll teach him everything. Knowing dang well you're going to be in by week six.
Right.
I'm back. And then I'm out of here. And then I'm out of here. I'm going to work on my game. Then he went and didn't he do some Tybo or something so he could fall correctly and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Get your Tybo on. Hit some of those palm trees down there. Get your forearms right. Whatever you need to do. Why are you going to? There's nowhere you can go to. I'm sorry.
No, I'm in lockstep with you there. Quinn Ewers is the second part of his question and Husker Stew as well. What are your expectation for Quinn Ewers the rest of the year?
I'm just interested to see him play. I think he probably needed another year, but let's see what he does. Here's what happens at this point. Now, obviously, I was unfortunately, when we were in Houston, we always played David. But so last year in Buffalo, they would play guys. Right now, obviously, Miami knows it's done. So now they just want to see what they have in Quinn Ewers. So it's mm-hmm. a great opportunity for Quinn to be. The first of all, he could create more job security than Tua because he would be the guy that, you know what, we'll keep him as a backup. We'll draft another quarterback and we'll deal with it for 2 years because Denver did it.
Yeah.
Or find somebody else to get him. So I think he'll run around a little bit more. I think he'll play well in the third and fourth quarter.
Fair.
I think it'd be a little bit tough at first. I mean, with anybody, but
Philip Rivers didn't make it look tough.
Man, I still can't believe that, man.
We do have $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings to give away. We'll do it today. It's been a while since we played a game show. So we're going to ask this to the text line 402-464-5685. First person in with the right answer. Who is the last quarterback from Texas to win his first NFL start? Text line 402-464-5685. Who is the most recent quarterback from the University of Texas to win his first NFL start? This is some of the history that Quinn Ewers is facing down. Gingerbeard Man says, I'm ready to throw my Tua jerseys in the trash. And Jay, this is one of those, a year and a half ago, Tua Tagovailoa could have been a sympathetic figure for the Dolphins. He was there. They left him out to dry. They didn't treat him right. They let him out there with injuries. How could they do that to the young man? And then you can't get rid of that. But to your point about his attitude, it's unfortunate that the Tua was trending to toward being one of the better Dolphins quarterbacks of the 2000s, and now and now everyone wants him gone.
Hey man, it's amazing. Listen, say when you say less. Here's the advice I could give the star players, young and old, or college and pros. Stay inside. Show up and shut up. And that doesn't mean you don't talk to the media. That doesn't mean that you don't have a personality. But just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to hear your political view.
Nope.
Nobody needs to see you chumming it up after you, first of all, after you just played horrible.
Mm-hmm. Not just bad.
Yeah, you just played horrendous. Horrible. And you guys got eliminated from the playoffs. And the defense was playing pretty dang good. They were hidden.
Yeah.
And you're outside. Mm. Stay inside. You'll get plenty of the limelight when the offseason. Mini camps, mandatory mini camps, the draft before that, and training camp in the season.
Yeah.
Just chill. And everything will work out for you.
The most recent Texas quarterback to win his first NFL start, Jay, was not a franchise quarterback. Do you have a guess?
So that means it wasn't my man Vince Young.
It was not Vince Young. He's been a popular guest. It was not Colt McCoy. And it was not
your boy,
Sam Ellinger.
Esslinger.
It was not Ellinger. He started for the Colts.
Yeah.
It was never going to go well. Did not win his debut as a starter.
Oh, no, I don't know.
2004, week 5, Tampa Bay Bucks, Chris Sims.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he went there.
Chris Sims, the most recent University of Texas quarterback to win his first NFL start. Tad, you are the winner. $30 to win.
Congratulations.
Rings is yours.
That was a good one. Chris Sim.
1243, you were also correct, but we gave it to Tad since he was in with it first.
So, yeah, you know what I hear a funny story history. About Vince Young?
Let's hear it.
So Vince Young used to call in when he was at Texas, and he would on Fridays, they would have like on the radio, so somebody would call in now during drive time, and they would play a beat, like a Scarface beat,
because
he's from Houston and all that, and you could rap. Like you call in, hey, caller 6, let me hear you get 2 minutes to flow. Vince Young can rap.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Like Dame Dallas style?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Vince.
Hey, yeah.
All right.
He'd call in. It was funny, though. He would call, yeah, he'd call in. I'd be rolling like, this. That sounds like Vince Young. And he'd be rapping.
Funny enough, it was Vince Young.
Yeah.
We're going to go to break. We'll call Bevin Blando of the Omaha World Herald back with more Old School after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It is Old School 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Austin Norman and Jay Foreman with you, but it is 4:30 on a Wednesday, which means we're headed to our Aloe Fiber VIP line, on which we are joined by Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. Evan, did you get a chance to watch your beloved San Antonio Spurs in the NBA Cup Finals last night? Don't know if we can hear Evan. I might have us go ahead and call them back. Either way, we will effort Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald very briefly. Want to talk with Evan about all sorts of stuff, including his thoughts on the quarterback position at Nebraska and what they're looking to do in the transfer portal, because it's been a long time for Nebraska since they've had a lot of continuity at that position. Obviously, when you look at Dylan Raiola being here for 2 years, that means something for Nebraska. But it's been a lot of turnover at the quarterback position. Evan managed to pull the numbers on that. So we're going to try to give him a call. I'm not sure why the phone line didn't work there. But the numbers that Evan found were pretty harrowing in terms of the quarterback position for Nebraska and how bad it's been for the Huskers as of recent, not being able to hold on to the quarterback outside of Dylan Raiola, right, who is here at Nebraska for 2 years, or really, 1¾ sorts of years before he went down with the broken fibula. And with his announcement that he intends to enter the transfer portal, we'll talk with Evan about what that means for Nebraska. This is a great chance to thank our great friends down at Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Hallam, Nebraska, and they offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give them a call today for more information, 402-430-3852, or visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. All right, let's try this again. Evan Bland, are you with us? Having some issues hearing Evan. Evan, let me know if you can hear me. Go ahead and give me a text because we are not hearing from Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald right now. So we'll bring Jay Foreman back in here momentarily. I'll let Evan know we're having some issues hearing him. But yeah, it's been obviously a revolving door at the quarterback position for Nebraska. And the issues, I think, when it comes to that is this, the names that have left for Nebraska, Jay. Again, the tweet from Evan Bland was that with the pending transfer, the seventh straight year, a scholarship quarterback has left Nebraska with eligibility remaining, the sixth time that it's been a Huskers starting quarterback. If my math is correct, obviously Dylan Raiola, yeah, Jeff Sims and Chuba Purdy both leave. Casey Thompson left with eligibility, Logan Smothers, Adrian Martinez, and even potentially Luke McCaffrey is how I think that you end up getting to that number of seven. And you can even look at Heinrich Harburg making the position switch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. I mean, it's a tough position because there's only one that can play. Generally the saying goes, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one and you need one to play. And like I said, you had some coaching coordinator changes. Casey was hurt. Logan obviously had his chance, and then obviously with Chuba Purdy as well. So I think that seventh quarterback is a little bit skewed because they played because of the injuries to Adrian, right? And then you had Heinrich, and it was kind of obviously Jeff Sims. And you could throw Jeff Sims in there too, right?
And I did,
okay,
yeah.
Yes, so Jeff Sims. Yeah. And so I think it's a combination of circumstances and missing on a couple guys. And so – you know, I think the two that really hurt the most is obviously Adrian, because you always wonder what if, you know. And, you know, when he went to Kansas State, you know, kind of, you know, really, really hurt. But you can understand, not maybe understand why when you hear some of the stuff that, you know, Adrian kind of said his reasons were. When a new start, felt like he kind of gave it his all here. And then obviously with Dylan, it's probably the ultimate what if, just because it was so quick. Even because... Mm-hmm. You know, you come in January and you're gone by the following November.
It's interesting too.
Not the following, but two Novembers.
Right. Westy throws out Tristan Jebbia.
Yeah, and he went and played and started up at Oregon State. He actually was pretty good at times. And
I don't know what the math cutoff would have been for Evan, you can count him, throw him in the mix.
I mean, there's some guys, and I guess you throw in a couple of misses or whatever, it just ends up not being well. Look, you have to have the quarterback position stable for more than a couple of years. You felt like you had it. It really brings back some old memories or bad memories when Dylan dips.
Let's go ahead and try one more time with Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. Evan, do we have you? Looking like a no. Apologies for that, folks, there on our Aloe Fiber VIP line not working, not being able to hear from Evan Bland. That's right. We'll keep the quarterback discussion rolling right here and see if we can't get some of Evan's thoughts potentially later in the week. But like you said, even in the open, Jay, none of those situations are necessarily created equal, right? But what Dylan went through isn't the same as Jeff Sims, isn't the same as Casey Thompson. Obviously, that's a little bit different with the coaching switch coming. Logan Smothers and Luke McCaffrey and that, you know, kind of yanked around starter, backup starter. Adrian Martinez, everything that young man went through at Nebraska, I can understand him wanting a fresh start. It's not like all these guys have been untalented. Not like none of these guys have showed any promise at times, just for a variety of reasons. Certainly the roster around them, scheme, coaching changeover, whatever it is. There's been no stability in Nebraska's identity. You know, all those guys have some similarities in their traits, but they're all unique as well. And Nebraska hasn't identified its flavor, its type of quarterback.
Yeah, well, you got to think you had... You know, Mark Whipple came in, so that's a totally different type of quarterback that he wants, which is obviously Scott Frost and Troy Walters, and those guys were coordinators before. So that changes what your idea of a quarterback is, and you're 100% right. So your idea, you know, or your continuity or inconsistency is directly related to your continuity and consistency in your head coach and quarterback or your offensive coordinator and the philosophy as well. So you thought you had it probably with Dylan, and you know, unfortunately, you know, made a decision, or they made a decision to part ways. And so now you have to start over, not necessarily start over. You just got to, you know, readjust and recalibrate and figure out who you're going to bring in next. I mean, it's part of the game now. You can have you know, guys that have great careers. I mean, you even looking at, like, I know Sam Leavitt is probably leaving ASU probably for money, because I know they struggled a little bit, because even Kevin Dillingham has been trying to get him more NIL stuff. But, you know, you think about a match made in heaven is those two. You get, you know, you come down there as a freshman, or after a freshman year where you played a little bit, you win it, you take him, and had a little bit of struggle this year, but you lost a lot of guys in the draft. You lost Scataboo and everybody else. But you still had, you were up there as a potential first round pick. You didn't play well. Now there was other factors why you didn't. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to go not only get paid again and you get a upgrade in pay, but it was not anything that went wrong there. It's just that it was a bad season, not only for him, but the offense, but Arizona State as well.
We have Husker Stu saying, I can't put Luke McCaffrey in that category because when he transferred from Nebraska, went to Rice, he didn't play quarterback there. He played receiver as he should have here at Nebraska. I think that's fair, but
he started there at quarterback, and then he went to receiver reluctantly, and it worked out magically.
Like a charm. Yeah, third round pick.
Yeah, he's playing now.
And then 1069 says Nebraska needs to get the kid from North Texas, Drew Mestemaker. Now that'll be a little tricky because Mestemaker's head coach Eric Morris just got hired at Oklahoma State, who is also in need of a quarterback right now. It's been a revolving door for them. Zane Flores enters the transfer portal. Probably not going to be one that is on Nebraska's radar in terms of immediate help. Maybe as an upperclassman veteran backup potentially, but I think that's probably out the door as well. But this goes back kind of to what we shoehorned in at the end of our first segment, Jay, not knowing if we'd have time to get to it. Right now, with where I think Nebraska needs to go, I would not be afraid to bring in a young, relatively unproven, slightly proven quarterback to compete with TJ Latif. I don't think you need another Jalen Gramstad, right? Who's wonders in that room. You need a legit option, one that you don't have to, you know, pay buku dollars for, one that you can't go so far off the beaten path. You got to be able to see the traits and a little bit of production. I think Mestemaker's got too many ties to Eric Morris, or is in too high demand after leading the FBS in passing this year. I get the idea. If you want to go that way, good luck. I just don't think it would work out for Nebraska. It might be someone you haven't heard of, but it's got to be someone that I think leads to a legitimate competition. And I don't think that's even Sam Leavitt, though Nebraska pursued him before.
Because it wouldn't be a competition.
Right, no.
Yeah, I like it. Either a guy at TJ's age or like a year older. Yeah. You know, so he's not, so you stair-step in there a little bit, and he's got a couple years of eligibility left. So, you know, as I'm now, I'm just trying to think, like, who, you know, you maybe, you know,
it's hard without the Vortex tracker up. It hasn't opened yet.
I mean, you got to think, you know, like even a guy that fits that script, but most likely probably doesn't want to come to a place and not be, you know, have strong assurance that he's going to start, is like an Aiden Childs. That's right on par.
Yeah.
It is. When he's right, he can throw the ball.
Oh, yeah.
When he's right, he can run the ball. Mm-hmm. He can give you the business.
Mm-hmm. Former 4.5 five-star type recruit?
I'm going to tell you who should be.
Oh.
It's Jaden Davis, the Michigan quarterback that went into the portal. He was Underwood. He was the year before.
Yeah.
He won a North Carolina Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. He was a high four-star, obviously on the, you know, cusp of being a five-star. He's played some. Remember when Harbaugh was there, he had practiced in the bowl practices and got a glowing, like, reviews.
Sure.
If you want somebody around TJ's age, he's a year older. Mm-hmm. Right, you just roll the ball out there and say, "You eat what you kill."
I would just have one question about Jaden Davis, and that's: do your daughters think you can play basketball better than Drake May?
Maybe, but I don't think he's from Charlotte though. Yes, he is.
Either way, I'm sure he's been around, right? Good.
He's from a different school. But, I mean, I'm thinking a guy, he's extremely talented, and he was obviously highly ranked. And obviously, you come in, you're behind McCarthy, you can't do anything. And then last year, you kind of took a redshirt year to the, you know, obviously first year of Sharon Moore. And you've been sitting on the shelf, and you need a chance at a blue blood university. And you don't want to go to, like, Northern or Western Michigan or something like that. Perfect opportunity for him.
Virginia Pirate says, I'd bet good money if Nebraska's taking a portal quarterback. I don't think that's an if. I think it's a when. Nebraska takes a transfer portal quarterback. That guy isn't in the portal yet. Virginia Pirate, not to, to get all technical on you, but technically no one's in the portal yet because it doesn't open until January 2nd. So I will beat you with that technicality. But I get what you're saying. Hasn't declared his intention to transfer. And then, Jay, the second part of this is also if, and again, I think when Nebraska takes one, what's to say TJ Lateef doesn't just say deuces?
Well, I'm sure, you know, the way he played, obviously early in the season, the way he played at, you know, UCLA and then even at Penn State at times, and obviously Iowa was hurt, and the potential in the recent recruitment. Remember, you got to think he just recently was recruited, so he's fresh in everybody's mind.
Yeah.
I'm sure people are, you know, I'm sure his phone will or is or will be ringing, you know, pretty frequently.
Starter Hammond Jewelers text line again, 7543. Has someone mentioned the Old Dominion quarterback, a young fellow by the name of Colton Joseph? 2,600 yards, 21-10 touchdown to interception ratio, listed as a sophomore, so probably a junior next year from California. Pretty good programming, 9-3. They're playing in the Cure Bowl right now. It's 3-0 South Florida. Wouldn't hate it, but maybe that's what Nebraska has to do, is take that swing on a mid-major guy that they can get a little cheaper and see if he's got it at the high major.
Yeah, and I think a lot depends on what happens with TJ. Because if TJ bounces, then that means your price for your quarterback or the list of quarterbacks probably goes up, right, the price range. Because now you're like, all right, now we're really bare bones.
Right.
So I think you can – I mean, TJ can't command $4 million a year. No. So you figure you're going to get him at a pretty decent price point. So then you match that with, you know, potentially somebody else coming in, you know. You got good, legit competition. You got everybody else out there that's got to compete. Now you got to make sure that you bring back Hunter and everybody else just because you want to have some, either quarterback, but especially TJ, you want him to have his ace in the hole, which would be, in this case, Hunter.
The other option, this is kind of intriguing from Gorilla Bear on the text line. What about a guy like Lincoln Keenholz, who was at Ohio State?
And he was from
Pierre, South Dakota. Right.
Mm-hmm. I like that too. He's cold-blooded, too. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about quarterback position. I mean, you see it with Sam Levitt. You see it with different guys that just burst on the scene. Is you could go to Ohio State, and you really just can't get out. You saw it with Joe Burrow. Like, he was having a really good spring, hurt his knee a little bit, and they're like,
yeah, no.
We're out, you know, we're going with, was it Hawkins or whatever? And now you got to go find somewhere else. Then he goes down to LSU and ends up being number one pick, so. I think if you can get somebody like that and they have the right mindset, I think you can really, really strike gold. And then it's really magnified times four or five because the price point that you're getting these guys at, TJ included, is not where you're at. And so you're able to allocate those funds to build some depth, let alone because everybody thinks, okay, well, you got $3.5 million and say you only spend $1.5 million for two quarterbacks. So you got $2 million. Then you're going to go out there and get one player for $2 million. No, you need to get strategically player set so you can get accumulation of really good players so to add to depth, because that's essentially what Texas Tech did.
Yeah.
You got to understand what they've done. Obviously, they invested in their pass rusher and some other positions. They did put a lot of money into their defensive line, but it's strategically placed. But they also poured into the rest of the roster, our middle to high three-star guys that support their big-name guys.
Yeah.
And that's efficiency in spending, because those three-star guys make the five-star guys super five stars. They skip over the potential, the guys with a ton of potential, or the measurables that aren't very good players in the four-star range. Sure. So they figured out a way to kind of really hone in on the guys that are legitimate football players and really, really try to highlight and obviously, you know, not, I wouldn't say overspend, but definitely spend, you know, at or above market value for the five-star guys that are pretty much guaranteed to be successful.
The other thing we were going to bring up with Evan Blando of the Omaha World Herald was that Nebraska baseball has its opponents for the MLB Desert Invite. That'll be the season opening tournament for Nebraska coming up in, how about this, just 2 months. Coming up in February from the 13th through the 16th, Nebraska will face UConn, Northeastern, Grand Canyon, and Stanford. Those teams, Evan says, went a combined 145-84 last season. Should be a great opening season challenge for the Huskers. No challenger took down Bud Crawford, but he's hanging him up. We'll talk about that.
Tough.
We're talking about Bud Crawford's retirement. Finishing out hour two of Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour two of Old School here on The Ticket. Austin Orman and Jay Foreman with you. 4:45 segments, as always, brought to you by the great people at Love Volleyball Nebraska. How about this, folks? Home opener just around the corner. Love Nebraska is getting ready to start their second season. It all kicks off January 11th at Baxter Arena in Omaha. Get your tickets online and at lovb.com. And don't miss the opportunity to see volleyball stars like Lexi Rodriguez and Jordan Larson dominate the floor as Love Nebraska takes on Love Houston on Sunday, January 11th at 3 p.m. Love Nebraska just released their promotional schedule for home matches this season. Check out all of that and get your single match tickets online at lovbneb.com before it's too late. It is now, Jay, too late for fans to get a chance to watch Terrence Crawford fight professionally. Bud dropped a video late last night, retiring, 42-0, 5-division champ, all-time Nebraska great.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously you hear rumblings like, hey, you know, he's going to go out on top and obviously destroy Canelo.
And Errol Spence before him.
Errol Spence before that. But Canelo was like, all right, this is to put the stake in the ground. Like, I'm him. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, there's always guys that are wanting to challenge him and, you know, whether it was Tank or something to try to get it, you know, and that was personal.
Right.
They could get it a catch weight or something like that. I mean, that would be the thing that like would keep him going. And, you know, Errol Spence said he won another shot. He's actually, you know, starting to perform like he was supposed to. But, you know, when he knows his time, I mean, he obviously knows nobody's better than him. And what else does he, who else does he got to beat up on? Who else does he has to, you know, he has nothing else to prove. I know there was a little mishap there that he didn't pay the $300,000 to one of the 85 belts that he has. he got the belt that he won. It is the all-inclusive belt. And if there's a way to go out, and he's, from my understanding, and obviously the few times I've seen him talk, he's got all his, you know, brain and everything together, pretty healthy from a boxing game like this. And he's fought a lot, both in the ring and then obviously growing up fighting. And I think he also, you know, I think he's at the point that he's going to probably, you know, try to, you know, give back to boxing, because I think he can provide a path for a lot of guys like himself that might not, I don't know, either not have the financial backing or have the opportunity. Because he's had to, you got to think, I think his first fight, he said he got like $60 or $600.
Yeah, nothing at all.
Like, right? Pennies. I mean, whoever was training was like taking an L. So for guys that are trying to find a way, I mean, I think he could be a definitely an advocate, and that'd be maybe the way that he continues to be involved in it. And anything that he does with that type of mindset, dedication, and obviously tenacity, he'll be successful at it after boxing.
I always try to frame it in terms of different sports as well, which is tough to do because boxing is such an individual sport. It has its own, you know, politics and history behind it. The best kind of comparisons that I could land on is like Bud Crawford's career is like if, I don't know, like North Dakota State won a Cotton Bowl or something like that. But the one that I really liked that I thought of was like, he's like if Gonzaga won a title.
In a lot of ways, right?
Yeah. Because everyone knows Gonzaga's a legit program. Everyone knows Bud Crawford's a legit boxer. There's still going to be some people looking in from the outside like, oh, well, you played St. Mary's every year.
Yeah.
You know, as good as Bud Crawford has been, number one pound for pound, we get all that. Yeah. Do you think of Bud Crawford before you think of Money Mayweather, before Pacquiao, or Joe Louis, any of those guys, right? Like, Terrence Crawford, I'm afraid and I'm bummed, will probably never ascend to like the quote-unquote blue blood level, right? He's not a Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, Carolina, whatever have you. But he did enough to validate. He won two big fights at the end, right, with Spence and Canelo. Like, what if Gonzaga knocks off either North Carolina or Baylor?
Or back-to-back.
Or like back-to-back.
In the tournament, and then they end up winning. I think to the boxing experts and the people that love boxing, he's right up there with Mayweather and Pacquiao. The only difference is he didn't have the – I mean, that's not Bud to walk around with hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, heck, Mayweather was sitting next to Jay-Z, brought out, I mean, it's just a difference of a personality.
Yeah.
But I think he's very businesslike. I think this is, you know, the last two fights were very, you know, lucrative for him.
Is he the Tim Duncan of boxing?
Probably like that. Straight substance. Just straight hands. This, you know,
the big fundamental.
Yeah. You know, he's 62 years old. Somebody roll up on him at a basketball court. He doesn't. Yeah. So, I mean, for him, He's one of the few to retire undefeated. He's one of the two to go out on top.
Mm-hmm.
He's still in his prime.
Tail end of his prime.
Tail end of his prime. I don't even think he's descending yet. He's just past the apex of his prime. I mean, that fight was so dominating. It's hard to say. He looked better. I was going to say he looked better in Canelo against Spence. Both of them, he dominated. I mean, I think. But either way, he's getting to go out on top. And it's great for the state of Nebraska. It's even better for the city of Omaha. Because his path, man, I think is everybody's seeing this right now.
Yeah.
The last 5-6 years where he really started to blow up, be a household name. But remember when Bob Arum told him, like, you can't fight in Omaha. You can't fight in Nebraska. Remember that?
Yeah.
But then he kept doing it and because he kept beating up everybody. And then they started to get bigger fights there. And then obviously in Vegas was the end all be all. So congratulations to him. Now he gets to go and he's got a few kids, you chase them around and do that. So there's nothing better, man. I mean, he's
42-0, 5-division champ, unified the belt, 31 knockouts. His faculty's about him and a family to go.
His name is the champ. I know his name's Bud. He's like, what's up, champ? No, you can't.
He's champ.
Yeah. He's him.
A salute from all of us here at The Ticket to you, Terrence Bud Crawford. Whiteboard Wednesday's next.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.